So here we are once again, folks. We're looking at another edition of Valley Edition. And here in the studio, we have Terry Snyder, Zaz Hollander, and Charles Hayes. Three people who are going to take a look at what's happening and what has happened and what might be happening in the near future. First of all, Zaz, how's the trip here?
Oh, the trip here was snowy, Mike. It was snowy and a bit slow.
A bit slow. So you took your time driving slowly?
Yes, driving slowly and carefully, even slower than I intended.
Right. Okay. We won't go into too much of those details. Terry, why don't we start out with a look at what's happening down in Juneau or
closer to home?
Or closer to home. You pick it.
Well, there has been some interesting conversations about education going on in Juneau this week, if we want to start there. They had a little brief presentation about the governor's Alaska Performance Scholarship Outcomes Report. It's pretty interesting. They don't have a lot of data. It's only been in a couple of years. We've got a lot of new people there, so there were a lot of questions and a few healthy conversations and a little bit of toes in the water concerning private and public money and how that all works out in the college level. As far as the assembly, they will meet next Tuesday. They have, by their standards, a pretty slim agenda, only 522 pages. And of that, there are 13 resolutions, which I always, you know, like to say are memos to myself. They're mostly in support of what the legislature that represents this part of the state from the valley is putting on the table and in support of various things like the bridge. I sort of lost count on how many resolutions in support of the bridge there's been. I think there's been six at least. So this is yet another. Some pretty interesting ones. One regarding farm equipment and a deduction that's running through the House with House Member Hughes, giving farmers a pass, basically a tax pass on their farm buildings, much like the senior deduction and the veterans deduction. No real amount of money what that will be, but they are in support of that. And one putting $15 million in bonds out there to get some more of the projects on the street regarding that $215 million school bond that we passed a couple of years ago.
So that's putting more of what had already been passed out.
Yeah, they did about $100 million of it. It was my understanding they were going to do the other half, but they were only doing $15 million more. No. So that's kind of a question I will have.
Okay. So Juneau is going to come to the valley, at least part. We know that the legislatures, many of them that represent the valley, will be in here starting Saturday. They'll be starting at Snowshoe Elementary School, and then at a subsequent meeting, they will also be at the LIO office. Right now, we know that one way you find out what's happening in Juneau is to watch gavel to gavel. Okay? And we do know that there are a number of communications from legislators out as newsletters and the rest of that. So what I'm wondering, Terry, you've had a chance to watch gavel to gavel. And of all those things you've been watching lately, what one has emerged for you as the most informative?
Oh, well, the takeaway from that is I'm not sure why anybody watches reality TV, because that is kind of reality TV in its best. There is just more than you can watch, really. There's a lot of live streaming going on. It's public radio or TV station down there, KTOO, who've stepped up their game a little bit. There is also Alaska Ledge TV. So you can stream it. You can watch it on, depending on where you are, 715, various channels. And there's a lot of information to digest, but it's certainly there for those that want to. And they're certainly aware. Every year I hear a few more comments just about every committee. It says, for our friends watching this at home, and I'm told by the people at KTOO that they have a lot of interaction with the legislature, a lot of discussion about what is streamed and what's not streamed. But they claim that most everything is available now, either archived or live if you want to see it. So,
okay, so part of a sign of the times would be that you would want what you're doing to be streamed. And then if for some reason, whether technically or otherwise, it did not happen to be scheduled, then you'd feel somehow slighted. Is that what I'm hearing?
Perhaps. I don't know. I haven't been in on those conversations and what the, you know, argument is. I think for the amount of staff that KTOO has, it's like every public radio TV station, it's, I think they do a pretty remarkable job. So I don't know what the conversation is, but it's my understanding they have a lot of interaction with legislative. And I think they, you know, some of these people are on 8 committees. There's no way they can attend other committee meetings. So they are, as themselves, the legislatures, depending on that service, to be able to find out what's going on and what their brethren are saying about things, I suspect.
And Zoss?
Well, there are a lot of overlapping hearings, so I think the choice is more which one is the one that is going to have the highest public interest. And that's probably a pretty heated conversation at times. But back to the local town hall meetings with constituents, I would think that education/vouchers will probably be the leading topic of conversation given the activity from the Valley legislators, Wes Keller, and Lynn Gaddis and her role as the House Education Chair. It just seems that those issues are, maybe it's just us here, but it seems like those are the sort of issues at the forefront for the Valley and for people who live in the Valley. I mean, everybody knows somebody with a kid in school or has a kid in school. It's one of those issues that people can dig into. And Alaska is one of how many states, 7 or 8 states right now, considering a really open funding process for all kinds of different kinds of education, even as we're kind of scratching our heads as to how to fund traditional neighborhood schools.
Mm-hmm. As us, you've over the years done some investigative journalism and you've watched topics, and I'm just wondering if you notice a difference in how you source information with the advent of the Internet, advent of all this coverage with Gavel to Gavel. Are we still talking about the ability to have conversations with individuals to get some background information and the rest of it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I am a sort of a different sort of journalist than I used to be, but I'm still a conventional journalist. And I think what's changed for the better is having people like Terry who spend time, not sure how they manage to find the time, but going through all of this information that's suddenly available online and then saying to a journalist, well, have you looked at this and this and that? But in terms of background information, I think it's helpful because the paper trail is easier to find. In some ways.
Okay.
Now, it's obviously I don't know if we've talked about it, but, text messaging, the public meetings and public records law and how text messaging is flirting with violating those laws. I mean, that's a challenge. That's a significant challenge, having these boards and bodies be able to have conversations kind of between themselves without the public accessing those conversations. But no, I think maybe I'm naive, but I think it's helped journalists. There just are not enough of us. I mean, that's the big problem, is that we've all been laid off. Most of us have been laid off.
This is an opportunity for our listeners who are watching on Gavel to Gavel or whatever means they want.
Absolutely.
To take and follow a trail and then ask people whether you're going directly to one of these meetings and talking to a legislature or you're finding a journalist and saying, have you thought about this?
And I think Zaz is right. I think it's stepped up the game as far as sharing resources of information. I'm getting a lot less jokes these days and a lot more substantial emails from people that say, have you seen this report? And how does this all play out? And it is an overload of information, but I think that journalists and bloggers like myself and some other people are finding a sweet spot a little bit in getting together and sharing information for our own uses. And I think that's going to be good. I think the public process will be more robust that way. I think legislatures ultimately will be held more accountable when there's more sunshine in the window, so to speak. But it is hard because it is sort of an overload, too.
Right. Well, we've spent some time talking about a couple of issues being discussed down in the legislature, and I certainly appreciated the insight that both Terry and Zoss provide. There's another topic that sits there. It's a big one. Every so often we're reminded of it, and that's oil and gas. Recently there was an announcement that an agreement was signed with an option by a large entity in Russia called Rosneft. And it was another company, Exxon, that was involved on the other side. Charlie, what's your sense of that? You've had some experience certainly in the oil and gas business, and what do you see happening there?
I think some people will naturally be inclined to object for Russian interest in something like that. But I actually think that it will spur things along. I think that Exxon will be more interested in helping their partner along than they are the state of Alaska. Exxon is one of the most independent organizations that there is on the planet. I've dealt with them before in exploration, and it takes a lot to get them to move. But I think they'll be much more interested in having their partners brought along than, and to my mind, we should have been taxing the gas in the ground a long time ago as an incentive to get it moving.
Okay. Well, and just to remind listeners and ourselves, this is all about gas. This isn't an arrangement that's focused on oil, but gas. And speaking of that, there have been continuing hints, a little bit of this or that. There was a very large full-page ad in a local paper recently about moving on the pipeline of some sort. And Charles, have you noticed anything at all that suggests that this is going to become a reality in the near future?
The gas pipeline, you mean?
Right.
No, not really. I mean, what I just talked about, the Russian deal, is the most incentive that I've come across.
Okay.
But to me, I didn't watch the governor's State of the Union, State of the State address, but I read it.
Okay.
And he is inclined to believe that we need to immediately reduce oil taxes. I hear rumors about the guys in the Dakotas that the oil companies want to come up here because of the way they're being treated down there. So I don't think, I've worked in the oil industry up here for nearly four decades. When I first went to work for ARCO in the 70s, I went to an executive meeting, and we were concerned about the price of oil. The price of oil was diving. And this executive, I can't remember who he was, what his name was, but he said, "We don't make plans on the basis of the price of oil because the oil fluctuates." It's almost the same way with taxes. I mean, there's some difference. And right now, it's my opinion that the oil companies have the governor convinced that he needs to do something to act. That all of the incentive in the world is already there. It's already built into the system because they have to maintain the flow of the pipeline. Somewhere around 300 barrels of a day, they have to maintain that or they could lose it. And the engineers know that, and they will never, ever do anything to get below that. I mean, it's not commonly known what the number is, but I'm sure that oil companies know exactly what it is, and they're not going to go below it. So we don't need an incentive. Over the short term, I'll grant you that there may be some slowdown in production in order to make it seem that we need to lower the taxes, but over the long term, it's just not there.
Right, and that conversation about taxes, it takes a lot of air out of the room, but I think as Alaskans, we need to be looking at, our overall tax situation. We're going to come up on some budgets here locally pretty soon, and you're going to see a lot of arm waving about mill rates and property taxes. And there was an interesting PPP poll this week I read in US Comparison to other places as far as taxation goes. And as a lot of people have pointed out, we're pretty darn lucky. We're all a lot of times we're up there against North Dakota, as Charlie says, about things being so much better across the fence, so to speak. And when you look at this information that's coming in now about taxes overall, when you take it as a big 600-foot view, and you talk about income tax and sales tax and property tax and everything that we pay for services, Alaska's in a very sweet spot. We're very, very lucky in comparison to other places. And we have a lot of room to, to be looking at that a little harder. And it affects everything about Alaska. Energy, it affects education. That is a conversation we need to be having. And these sidebar conversations are important. And they're important to, where we're getting a lot of our revenue right now. But I think that the information is coming out right now that, you know, we need to be looking at the whole picture, not just one little portion of it. And royalty taxes overall about all of our, if we really are have all these resources everybody so readily wants to take up, shouldn't we be looking at taxes overall? I don't hear that conversation at all going on in Juneau about all our other resources that we're not really getting any money on. It's a pittance, really.
I believe our tax ought to be gross and not net. I think Dakota's are gross taxes. But there's just no reason, in my opinion, to give any more away. As I've never been much of a fan of Governor Palin, but she did this state one big favor. And we owe her a debt of gratitude in that respect.
Okay. Well, we've got oil, we've got education, we do have a few other things, and one of them in particular has to do with cruise ships. Zaz, have you been cruising?
You know, I've never been cruising, Mike, but I know people who cruise.
And I guess I'm just wondering what, you know, this has been a very interesting story about the cruise ship. Because the involvement of the population of Alaska in an initiative back in the day, a few years ago, seemed to give some indication of what the public was interested in. And I think the discussion now has in part gone along whether that public opinion expressed in the initiative and the science committee that met are being sort of given the back of the hand in a rapid run to have legislation by the cruise ship while, well, any opinions?
Well, I think you pretty much summed it up. And I think that the, you know, the current legislature is, has a fairly clear agenda on some issues and has a lot of sway in Juneau right now. And the cruise ship lobby, the Princess lobby, is speaking loudly and clearly and being heard. I don't know if we have time for a side conversation on lobbyists, but speaking of lobbyists, Terry was nice enough to forward me some information. And this is APOC information. This is public information.
Okay.
On the lobbyist list for 2013. And I don't want to steal Terry's thunder on this one, but John Harris is the borough lobbyist, and he is paid $6,700 a month for that service, assumedly during session, right? So this isn't an, you know, you can't multiply it by 12, but still, $6,700 a month from the borough. He's also receiving $5,000 a month from a national foundation that advocates for vouchers. So this is a pro-voucher think tank. And so as I asked Terry, I just wonder what the school district makes of that when, you know, the borough is paying him to advocate for borough issues. What, 80% of the borough budget goes to the school district? And we haven't really resolved that conversation yet about, you know, what's best for our school district.
Well, it's 80% if you talk about the pass-through money from the state. But as far as local taxes, it's a much smaller percentage. They're just kind of the piggy bank for that. And, you know, it doesn't speak really to the whole lobbyist report is a very interesting report in APOC. It's pages and pages long. I would say if there is worried about some people not having jobs, I can assure you that lobbyists are very a fluid job in Juneau, and it does kind of shine a light on all these little connections about who really is connected. Now, it should be said that the Matthew School District has a different lobbyist, totally. The Mulder Company is their lobbyist, and that has not been one of their priorities, to advocate for them. They have a legislative blue book that they put out, and charters is not one of them. Most of their things they lobby for are like capital projects and program projects, Alaska Middle College and things like that. So if there's any correlation, I don't know. But it is something that people should be aware of. I think really just jumping back a little bit to the cruise thing, I think really the story there is that was a voter initiative 2 years ago that the people in the state of Alaska voted on this initiative. Now, was it a little overreach? Maybe. That's normally kind of the way some initiatives go, because the public is riled up enough to pass their own legislation when the political will isn't there. But the, all modifications that have come forward to make it even a little more, you know, push it off a few years, make it a little more palatable, failed. And so I think the message here, and really the story here, is ignore the public at your own peril. And I guess we'll see what that peril is when voters vote again.
I know that the DEC commissioner recently did a piece in the paper that spoke to this in terms focused primarily on the science, or lack thereof. And I think this seems to be the tack that's being taken, that even though there's been some question about stopping the review from a science standpoint, the response is this is the best science. And the DEC does have the opportunity to do more. That's what's being said. So in the meantime, it would appear that when we meet next, this legislation is on track. Although, interestingly enough, when you look at the details, you can see that the vote that occurred in the Senate, where this is being played out, was 7-10, and that there were three people who possibly would have some objection that were not present to vote. So this is one, again, of those cases where you'll have the opportunity to both have a discussion, if you go Saturday, to the legislative meeting that will be at Snowshoe Elementary School starting around 12, I think. And then if you go to gavel, you'll be able to watch this. And once in a while, and you know, we've talked in the past about what discussions happen off camera, but once in a while, the discussions on camera are very revealing. And I would say this might be one of those things on Tuesday. Okay?
Right.
Any other topics that you have in mind that you'd like to bring up this week?
Well, I learned something today watching to a little bit of gavel to gavel this morning. The House majority was having a news conference, and they like to talk a lot about energy. It's all about energy with them. They have some very strong voices from the Fairbanks area. I thought one question from the Juneau reporter was couple of them, one from Fairbanks, that asked them that they've talked about energy for basically the last 50 years. So what's going to be different about this year? I didn't really hear a substantial answer to that, a lot of what they're in favor of, but not any real strategy. And, you know, when you put that up against education and that they want more choices because they want things to be have a strategy and they want to have a success there and they want to measure teachers on that, you know, perhaps we should be asking ourselves that about legislators, because no one had a real clear answer to that, what they've been able to deliver. And some of them have been there not 50 years, but many, many years. And the other thing I learned was the way to shut that news conference down is to have a reporter ask them how they felt about same-sex marriage and promoting unions in the state of Alaska. And that one got more scoffs than I've seen at lately. And it was quickly called that wasn't something that they had been meeting about and talked about. But so I think those, again, not plugging, we sound like we're plugging gavel to gavel a lot, but it really is real time what's going on. And people should be looking at those things and watching how people answer those questions that aren't only scheduled.
Okay, and then out there in the world, there was a reminder just this day about how we can go about living our lives and think things are going fine. And then all of a sudden, from above, as it happened in Russia, a meteor comes down and says, "Hi there." And the result is, in this case, damaging to individuals, many people being hurt, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to segue from that. That's certainly a somber topic. To as somber a topic, one that we tend to forget about, and that is what's happening or not happening on the national level, because we're rapidly running out of February. Mm-hmm. And when February ends, there's a strange event called sequestering, where at this point the sides that are discussing how to move on with taxes and cutting of budget seem to be still some distance apart. We can do all of our discussion here, and we know that we have control of a lot of money, but the Fed still provide a lot of support for this state through the military and many, many other ways. Any comments about that before we end?
Well, it's coming up in almost all conversations and hearings right now because they're presenting their budgets that contain a lot of federal money, and it came up according to the Head Start program, and all these things have a trickle-down effect, just like with, you know, the governor's proposal with the oil tax. If his proposal would go through, community revenue sharing would go away. So these bigger topics take a lot of air out of the room, and they take time and money to discuss.
Zaz, your opinion.
Yeah, obviously Alaska, I believe, still gets more federal money than any other state. And, you know, along with that, was it 8% agency-by-agency cut? The Denali Commission funding is deeply in question now with almost $250 million of unaccounted dollars. We don't know if it was spent well. And that's huge, especially for rural communities and future funding. So, it's one of those conversations that often, I think, for most people happens in the ether, but has some very direct effects on us as residents.
Okay. Charles?
I think on the local and national level, we're all witnessing legislative malpractice.
Okay, that's a simple statement. Well, now, given that, if that is true...
For many, many years.
Right, how do we deal with malpractice? Can we sue the legislature?
Good question.
Okay, maybe one we'll take up next week. Well, I think we've come to the end of the show. Thank you very much, Charles Hayes, Zaz Hollander, and Terry Snyder, for once again walking through the... snow drifts with us. See you next week.